Good afternoon, everyone. And my name is Anthony Oliveri. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. How many want to be there now? I'm actually enjoying it. And hello, Lucas. How are you? Good. And what I'm going to cover today, after I have one little disclosure. The funding for this presentation does come from the CDC. However, all opinions that come from me are mine, and they do not reflect the CDC. And the funding source for this is we call TOUCH, Transforming Our Community's Health. It's a community transformation grant in Broward County, Florida. And it was originally for 2011-2016 at $1.76 million, $1 for one person in the county a year for that time period, and it was prematurely cut as of this September. However, we were successful in acquiring the PITCH grant from the CDC and for another 2 years with many of the components of TOUCH intact, and we have basically four components: tobacco and healthy food access and clinical services. So the work I'm doing now will continue. For this session, I'm going to talk about how to use maps. Not maps in traditional sense of like with Sean works with maps and GIS, but paper maps. We often get away from using paper maps with community. In this session, I'm going to go over a technique of using very large, like 4 feet by 6 feet maps with community members for health food interventions. And I'm going to describe how you do that process. And I have something called a strategy matrix. We'll show you an example. But basically, it's a matrix that goes with the map. So you have a map of health food problems in your area, and then you have a matrix, a strategy matrix to solve it, and I'll show what that matrix is, and the map and matrix go together. But I just want to start off with Broward County, and Broward County is the county just north of Miami-Dade County, and Miami's about 28 miles south of us, and this is the thing that started us with this project. Typically, we would give presentations to policymakers, decision makers, and community members with this type of map. And what you see overwhelmingly is diabetes. This is diabetes above the county rate by zip code. And then you see the black population of Broward County above the county rate by zip code. Earning income tax credit. And we use earning income tax credit by zip code because at the time, in 2010, the census had not come out with zip code poverty. But then we found out that actually earning income tax credit rate, are you familiar with it? It's tax credit eligible for low-income working families. It's actually very stable. There's no real margin of error. You either submit the tax form or you don't, whereas a survey, American Community Survey, there's a margin of error. And then we also created a healthy, unhealthy food index, which is basically the rate of unhealthy food square footage, not the rate of unhealthy square stores, but square footage, to healthy square footage. And there's some definitions of what the retail is, but adjusted by population density of the zip code. And we did a spatial regression, and we found that diabetes can be predicted in a regression by percent black population, poverty, basically, and unhealthy food index. So we said, okay, it's definitely connected statistically and spatially as well. And so all four of these overlap at the same time we create these target zip codes. And we said, okay, these zip codes represent where diabetes, unhealthy food, black population, and poverty overlap. And we went around for a few years talking to policymakers, planners, community members, and this made a good impact. People got motivated. And then we did another map of the census tract level with just these items and said, well, okay, we know the slope, we could make census tract. However, we run into a barrier. The barrier was that the map alone, just showing a group of map, like I showed it to you, okay, I know we have to go to these zip codes, let's go get our partners in those zip codes, let's do some work. It did not produce enough collaboration. And so, and I'm going to show you later, it wasn't until we blew up the map and showed a lot of features, so, you know, the roads, the transit system, and got people to actually work with the map physically, did collaboration begin. But just before I go into that, to do change, you also have to change the food system, and you have to understand the food system as a system. And so one of the things we do with our partners in the mapping process, so we show them this diagram. Oh, that's how you get rid of that. There you go. It's driving me crazy. In the other presentation, it was there too. So how many are familiar with the food system and seen this type of scenario before? So the food system is basically roughly six components kinds of processes, and ideally they should work together. So you grow food, you add value, you store it, and you acquire it by selling it or giving it away freely. We eat it and celebrate it, which drives the whole system, and hopefully we recycle the food, right? But the food system's also the policies and the built environment as well. So along the whole food system continuum, you have issues of zoning and open space where you can grow the foods, particularly in the urban area. And I'm speaking about the urban area. Economic development issues that you bring up with processing, adding value jobs. You're dealing with the transportation network and also land use. And of course, with access to food and eating food and education around food is health and culture and equity. Whose food would be celebrated, whose food would be available, and is it culturally appropriate, and so on. And of course, with food recycling or food disposal, this issue of energy, can you capture energy for food, can you turn it back into soil, and there's jobs around that. So when we're talking to our food system change agents, our people who run farmers markets, urban farmers, advocates, we help them think about, okay, what you're doing is actually you're helping the built environment. And the actual legal processes behind there. And when we talk to planners, we show them this, that, listen, there's a connection between the food system and what you do as a planner or a decision maker. So the main connection for this activity of taking maps and strategy matrices is to make food system change and community planning connected. And we do that through empowering people through maps, through physical maps, because the food system is not just these components I showed you. It's also connected to urban systems, living systems, political systems in the community. And also, besides the systems, the food system landscape involves roughly three types of characters or agents. And Stevenson, if you're not familiar with his work, has a wonderful essay called Warrior, Builder, Weaver. So warriors in the food system, and this doesn't just have to be the food system, it could be any area we're dealing with equity, are people that get out there and just, they protest, they challenge the system, they work outside the system. They say, no, this is not appropriate, we want this change, and they oppose the system. And then there are builders, and these are these are people that we've been working with the most. We don't have a lot of warriors in Broward County. We have in Miami-Dade, wish we had more of Broward. But builders tend to be what I call community food system practitioners. They're the urban farmers. They're also the community health advocates who advocate for CSAs and alternative food purchasing, like WBUX programs. They build alternative systems within the system. But they're not really interested in opposing the system. They just want to build alternatives. And then there are weavers. And weavers are, they work within the system. They tend to be decision makers, planners, community health people. They're not interested in building a new system. Like, I'm not going to go out there and build an urban farm. I'm an urban planner by training. But I will help, I would like to help a builder, urban farmer, figure out how his urban farm connects to community development. And so the workshop we developed was to connect builders and weavers, basically food system practitioners, people who are urban farmers, farmers market people, people who work in public health and food equity, and community planners and decision makers. And so what this was called is a round table. And so basically 60 participants, and basically we had community planners, which include community redevelopment agency directors, directors of planning, transportation planners, anyone who deals with the built environment, also people from the Department of Health, and practitioners, urban farmers, farmers market managers. And we basically created a collab, a collaboration, a laboratory of using the maps and the matrices. It was basically a three-hour period, but they worked an hour together. And as I said earlier, they used a map and a strategy matrix. We'll show you the technique in a second. And each team, we had three teams, was led by a CRA director. How many are familiar with the Community Redevelopment Agency, or CRA? One? Okay, so CRAs, or Community Redevelopment Agencies, are entities within your city, or now they actually might be in your county, too, even if you're rural. And they usually designate to redevelop an area that's considered high poverty or slum and blight. And they are eligible for federal block grant dollars for redevelopment. And because they're entities within a city, they usually have one director, and they're a well-defined area. And when you work with them, instead of work with the whole city apparatus, you work with the CRA. And they actually move very quickly, and because they're financed with their own money, they could have a lot of discretion. So this roundtable that we created, bringing community practitioners in the food system and urban planners together, I broke them up into three teams. One team dealt with production, basically growing food and processing food. The other team dealt with distributing food and retail and acquiring food. And the third team dealt with eating food, celebrating it, and recycling it. And each team had an expert from that area. So I had someone in the community who was really a great urban farmer on a team, or a farmer's market person, or someone who's really good at CSAs. And I had also an expert from my community redevelopment agency on there. And they had a one-hour collaboration where they had a matrix, and the matrix I'll show you in a second is basically food system elements like growing food, production, retail on one side, and on top were the elements of the comprehensive plan, transportation, schools, land use, and they had to come up with strategy, objectives, strategies, resources. And so they filled this little strategy matrix using the maps, and this one show you the breakdown of the team. If you do something like this back home, I felt it's really good to have a director of a agency in the city. So in this case, I use CRAs, the community redevelopment agencies. I use a director, and we built relationships beforehand. And I had these food system practitioners. I had a vice president of the community garden club, a market manager for a farmer's market, and an urban farmer. And each of these projects are within the CRAs. So this community garden club of Lauderdale Lakes, that's within the CRA district of Lauderdale Lakes CRA. This Patch Market Garden is within the Gainier Beach City CRA. So we have these three teams with people who are planners and practitioners in the food system. Thank you. And so we had two phases. One phase, they learn about the food system. The second phase, they actually do activity. And this is the activity. So they have a map of Broward County. The purple are areas of high diabetes and low food access. And we also have local food projects on there, schools, road networks, bus stops, parcels that are zoned for agriculture, and the CRAs, food pantries. It's covered with tracing paper, and they draw on the map, and they figure out the patterns themselves. This is actually from an APHA Learning Institute from this weekend, and this person here connected all the corner stores and schools and farmers markets around transit and came up with a strategy. And here's the strategy matrix. So here's the food system elements, and across you have elements of a comprehensive plan and strategies in between. They come up with these strategies, and here's one of those blown up. So this is production, growing food, and transportation. And this team came up with an objective to create a unified network of farmers markets around transportation hubs. We talk about the strategies to do that. Locate farmers markets on projects adjacent to major transit hubs, connect the projects, and what resources they need. And once each team did that, they went up and placed a dot on a master matrix on the wall. And we figured out by doing this, everyone gets to see everyone's strategy. And in 1 hour, we came up with 43 strategies. In 1 hour, with people who don't work together, planners who stick in the office and urban gardeners, come up with these strategies united around the comprehensive plan and the food system. And these are the activity instructions. I only have a few minutes, but I want to get to this really important slide right here. So this is the slide I really want you to remember, that local government and CRAs are concerned with these issues: poverty, high disease and hospitalization, dilapidated and physical environment. Usually in your plan and law, the city has an obligation to reduce these things. It's usually say we have an obligation to protect your health, safety, and welfare, and reduce the conditions conducive to disease. Well, this crowd, we are involved with this, community health. Well, we actually, in the determinants of health are poverty, healthy behaviors, physical environment. Well, healthy food projects connect those. We could alleviate poverty with employment, with healthy food projects. Healthy food also deals with healthy behaviors, and that reduces disease and hospitalization. And the physical environment is also part of the state of the built environment. And we did this in the workshop where the community planners and the food system people, and we also had health people there too, use this paradigm to understand that they are all working together on the same issue on a unified system. And we saw this slide earlier in a different format, but roughly we know that 37% of health determinants are determined by healthy behaviors. We know about 22% is by the physical and socioeconomic environment. And we know community partners and local, usually community partners work in this, but local government affects 22% of this. So by connecting planning and action, the people who are on the ground and do the urban farming, who do the actual community projects, and people who plan the physical and built environment, by uniting them together, we could basically affect 60% of the social environment in terms of health, And the one way you do that, I think, I found in our work, we've done this three times, is through a very large map where they get to spend a good hour or more working with it, find the patterns together, come up with strategies together, and the map becomes this common measure for dialogue and change. And we've developed a food policy council out of this. We developed a whole course in food systems change at the University of Florida Atlantic University, where I now work. I found by using paper maps in the community, bringing two stakeholders together like this, you get a lot of change. That's my presentation. I'll advance this to the next slide.